text together from the Word of God. All I've got is some scriptures, and really something I want to convey to your heart. And I hope the Lord will help us do that in the right way. And because I want it to be an exhortation to you. And certainly not a rebuke, but an exhortation. And something that will encourage our heart really concerning the upcoming marathon. I want to mention a few things tonight about the ministry and about the marathon. About what God has done for us, what God is doing for us. And see if the Lord won't use that to get a hold of our hearts. Help us get behind His ministry here at Island Ford Baptist. And simply do what is right as a child of God. Brother Robert says I'm not on, and he is correct, though. Now I'm on, right? Got her on. All right, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, if you would, please, in chapter number 4. Ephesians in chapter number 4. Brother Bell mentioned a few things out of this verse, out of these scriptures the other night, and I want to use them tonight to say what I feel like needs to be said to you in this hour. And like I told the men in the prayer room, and they laughed, and I told you out here, and you laughed. I do not have an outline, and I'm just going to say a few things as I go down through the scriptures, and then we're going to the host, okay? But in verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul writing here, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, grow up into all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's pause to pray, and I'll not be but a few minutes tonight. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this text. I pray that you'll help Brother Hall tonight, that you'll bless me, Lord, and help me say things that will not only honor and glorify you, but it'll be a help and an exhortation to the people of God, be a blessing to them. I pray you'd give us liberty, Lord. May the Spirit of God have free course to speak through us tonight, say what or to be said in this hour. I pray for sinners to be saved, God's people to find help. I pray that we'll see people repent, get right with God, do great and mighty things, Lord, that we know not of. Bless those that are not here tonight, those that are sick. Give them, Lord, divine healing to their bodies, I pray. Those we mentioned in the prayer room and tonight from the pulpit, help them to recover. Help the families that are grieved and bereaved tonight. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. All right, Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus, and as most, I think, theologians believe, the church at Ephesus is in the New Testament what the book of Joshua was in the Old Testament. Joshua was that book where the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River and went into that promised land. It was the book of the Spirit-filled life. And so the book of Ephesians in the New Testament is the same. Paul speaks here about being not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but us being filled with the Spirit. And this book has very few criticisms at all in it. But, you know, it was the first book that John wrote to in the book of the Revelation in chapter 2. And there was one problem with that church. And the Bible said that they had left their first love. Now, that's a terrible thing, but it's not nearly as bad as some of the others that let Jezebel teach within the church. But at the same time, that's certainly not good for people to leave that first love, which I don't believe is soul winning. I believe it be sitting at the feet of Christ and learning from the Lord Jesus. But Paul is writing here, and in chapter number 4, he is exhorting these people to walk in service toward the Lord, and reminding them that walking in service, that makes them a servant of God. And you know, that's what we are tonight. We're servants of the Lord. Nothing more and nothing less. And if we're not serving God and servants of God, then, you know, there's a pretty good possibility that we've never been to Calvary and never been saved. And I say that quite honestly. You know, and I've mentioned this before in my preaching. In honeybees, there's what's called the drone. And the drones will not work. And there comes a time when those honeybees will move on those drones inside, sting them and kill them, and they'll haul them outside, and the drones will die off. And they do because they're just there eating the honey and living off the honey that the other bees are making. And that's the way it is with some people. They're just living off the honey that other people are making in the house of God. And Paul recognizes that. Therefore, he's exhorting these people here in chapter number 4. I want to do the same to us. And he begins with a statement that is really, I think, above most of our comprehending. It sounds simple, but it's not as simple as what we might think it is. When he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." And Paul wasn't a prisoner because Christ apprehended him necessarily and bound him in chains. But he was a prisoner voluntarily. He was bound to the Lord Jesus as a prisoner to him. And in saying that, he's simply saying that he was a servant of the Lord. And because he was a prisoner of the Lord, the Bible said there that he was beseeching these people to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. In other words, he's saying, you have been called to a holy calling. And you need to live like you're a holy person. And you need to live up to that calling that God has put on your life as a child of God. You need to walk worthy of that vocation. And many times instruction precedes what is going to interpret what he's talking about. And so it does here. And that walking worthy of that vocation is found in verse number 2. He said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, and forbearing one another in love. Amen. And that is really walking worthy of our vocation, is when we walk in lowliness of mind. We ought to be head in high-minded. We ought to be lowly people, humble people. That's what God wants us to be. Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross, even the death of the cross. And you and I ought to be humble people as well. And follow in his footsteps is a song that we just sang. So he says there that with lowliness and with meekness and then long suffering. We ought to be able to suffer long with individuals. Now, I don't argue about this, and I wouldn't argue with you about it. But I really believe that there's a difference between long suffering and waiting, or rather patience. I believe patience has more to do with our waiting on God. And long-suffering has more to do with our waiting upon fellow man. In other words, if you pull up behind a fellow traffic light and the light turns green and he's not squalled tires in a tenth of a second, you don't lay on your horn. You're not, if you do, you're not very long-suffering. You can't suffer long with that man. But being patient with God is waiting on him.
And waiting on Him while we're under a burden. Waiting on Him while we're carrying the load that He wants us to carry. And not trying to find an escape route from under that burden that He's given up. You know, God wants us to bear our cross. God wants us to carry our load just like He did. But there's so many people today, and I'll say preachers too, and I have myself probably on more occasions than I'd like to admit, that we've tried to find an escape route to get out from and under that load that God's put us on. But He said we ought to be patient, waiting on the Lord. And they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That load causes us to grow weak and we get weary. But if we'll wait on the Lord, that Bible said that we will renew our strength. And then he said, forbearing one another in love. And we certainly ought to learn to forbear with one another. Kind of go lightly on one another. And he said in verse 3, and a lot of people confuse this verse. I want you to get a hold of this verse, what it says. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, a lot of people take that verse and they run with it on having unity in the church. That's not at all what that verse of Scripture said. Paul said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you notice that Spirit is a capital S. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. And so what he's saying is that those that are saved by the grace of God, they have unity. There's no way around it. The Holy Spirit unifies every born-again child of God and baptizes us into one body that is the church. Are you listening to me? And so Paul is saying here, endeavoring to keep that unity of the Spirit, but here's where the rubber meets the road, in the bond of peace. We've got unity because we're saved. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes that peace that is there is disrupted. Come on now. If there's gossip, if there's backbiting, and I won't say this, if there's laziness on the part of some of the church members causing others to carry all the load in the house of God, then there's a possibility of that peace, that bond of peace there, being broken within that unity of that Spirit. The unity's not broken. You still have the Holy Ghost living in you, and you're still you. You're still tied to one another by that Spirit of God. We're going in the rapture together. But I'm going to tell you, just because we're unified by the Spirit does not always mean that there is peace within the house of God. It don't always work that way. And then he said, to clarify that, he said, there is one body and there's one Spirit, even as you're called in the hope of your calling. So he's making this unity perfectly clear. We're unified. He said, there's only one Lord, there's only one faith, and there's only one baptism. And I'm not going to argue with you on that baptism. I'm not going to argue with you on it. But that's what the Bible said. There is only one baptism. That's what the book says now. And he said, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And there he is referring to a child of God. He's not talking about lost people. But he said, there's one God that's above us. He's higher than what we are. He knows more than we do. He's got much more wisdom than what we have. And he's not only above us, but he said that he's through us, that same God that's above us works through us. Oh, I tell you, we could ever get a hold of that now. That as we yield ourselves to God, God will work through us to touch the lives of other people. God will work through us to edify the body of Christ. God will work through us to encourage the believer. God will work through us to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to say something right there. I know a lot of preachers, and I've heard a lot of young preachers get it mixed up. But Christ doesn't get edified. Christ is exalted. The church is edified. Individuals are exhorted. Let that stick in your mind. And the church is edified. Christ is exalted. We exalt Him. We can't edify Him. How in God's name can you build up Christ? You're not going to get the job done. You can't get any higher than He is, so how are you going to build Him up? He's as high as He can get. But the church can be edified. It can be built up. And that's exactly what that means, to build up, to encourage, and to exhort. That means to kind of motivate, to help people along a little bit. At times, people need exhorted to move along for God. And by the way, we are human, all of us, and all of us are prone at times to get laid back on our, as the Old Testament says, on our lees, and we're to draw back a little bit and get a little lazy and a little tired and to sit down on God and say, hey, I've been doing this thing for so long. I've been doing it so long. Let somebody else do it a while, and I'm going to sit down and take my ease. You know what we sound like when we say that? We sound exactly like those laborers in the book of Matthew that went out at different hours of the day. And when pay time come, those that went out at the 11th hour got one penny, just like those that went out in the early morning. They had toiled, those that went out early had toiled all day in the heat and the sun and the hours. And those that went out 1 hour spent 1 hour. And those that had worked all day thought, well, surely we're going to get more money, but they agreed for a penny. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Just because some of us have done more than what others have does not give us the legitimate reason to sit down and quit on God because somebody else is not doing it and we sit down and we're not going to do it. Hey, let them do it for a while. That's not the answer. We ought to keep on doing it as well. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you've been doing something for God and you sit down on it just because you get bent out of joint or get tired or lazy and don't want to do it no more, you ain't right with God, and I'll look you in your eyeball and tell you that.
Amen.
You ain't right with God, friend.
Amen.
Amen and amen. That's right. Now, listen to what he says. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, I've got to be honest. I try to be honest when in my preaching. I don't know if I fully understand that scripture. That every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, the way that I look at that is the fact that we're saved by grace. You know that. But he said the gift of grace. Now, I don't believe here's talking about salvation grace. I think it's talking about working grace and laboring grace. And God doesn't give everybody the same amount of grace. But He gives us that measure of the gift of Christ. He may give somebody a little more grace than He gives it to somebody else. But what He does, now are you listening to me? He'll give one person enough grace to do what He wants them to accomplish. He'll give somebody else the grace to do what He wants them to accomplish. I could never be the pastor of a large church like a lot of men, like Dr. Seidler was and other men. I'm not cut out for that big church. I'll be honest, I've been a pitiful pastor here. I'm not much of a preacher, but I'll be honest, I've been a better preacher than I'm a pastor. I'm not much of a pastor. I'm not cut out to be that big man up there. God's given me my measure of grace on what I can do. But I am expected of God to take that measure of grace that God gives me and do with it what God wants me to do with it. Amen. And I'll guarantee you, if I do, I'll be rewarded just like they are with their big churches. That's right. Because God will reward us according to our faithfulness. He said, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. And gave gifts unto men. Now, I'm going to be like Brother Bell. I'm going to skip 9 and 10. Because they're there. And they're in what they call them parentheses. And I'm going to leave that out. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What were those gifts? Verse 11. And he gave some apostles.
Amen.
And some prophets. And some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers. And I think the pastor and the teacher there is the same office because it's got the and in between it, and there's no semicolon after pastor like they are after evangelist and like they are after apostles and after prophets. There's no semicolon after that pastor. So a pastor and a teacher is referring to the same person. And a pastor ought to be apt to teach, and there is such a thing as teaching. A lot of people today don't want to be taught. But there is such a thing as teaching the Bible. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not good at teaching the Bible. But because I'm more of a preacher than I am a teacher. But the Bible said I ought to be apt to teach. Amen. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, I'm going to tell you that is not talking about sinless perfection. There is no way under God's blue canopy of heaven that this preacher or any other preacher can perfect you sinlessly. An impossibility. I can't do it. But he said he gave us those gifts for that purpose, for the perfecting of the saints of God. Now, I'll hold my ground on this with anybody. That word perfect or perfecting simply means that God has given the church these men for their maturity in the Lord. By the way, and God does expect men and women to mature. Doesn't expect us to stay babies all of our life. God expects us to mature. And he's given us preachers to do that. Now, I wonder sometimes how good I've done. I mean that with all my heart. It blesses my soul to see the church, when they're together and in harmony, laboring together for the same purpose. Amen. Now, God has given you a pastor and a teacher. And we've had evangelists in here. I dare say we've not had any apostles or any prophets come by our way. I think those days are gone. I think they're gone. But nonetheless, we've had enough preaching. That's what all these people are, preachers. We've had enough preaching that we ought to be mature in the Lord. And that maturity in the Lord, look here, what that maturity does, number two there, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God uses preachers to perfect us. For what reason? The work of the ministry. What ministry has God given us? God, come on now. God has given us a ministry. And I don't know whether the church really realizes or not what God has given us and the responsibility that's ours to preach the gospel. We have got an obligation, ladies and gentlemen, not only to the Lord, but to every sinner out there and every saint out there to preach the gospel over that radio station back there, that sinners might hear and be saved and God's people might find help from the Word of God. God's given us that responsibility. And I won't say when some of us lag and fall behind and won't do, it throws a load on somebody else. And I don't think it pleases God.
Amen.
I certainly don't think that the unity of the Spirit is in the bond of peace. Because I'm telling you, I've heard people complain, myself, about how others, we get out in the kitchen and some of the people out there don't help do nothing. I've heard people complain about that. I'm doing this and they're standing around picking their nose. That ought not to be.
Amen.
We are a church. We are, come on now, I believe in the local assembly as the church. We are the church. When he wrote to Ephesus, he was writing to a church. So I said, but he put it in the Bible. Sure, he put it in the Bible. So every church will know exactly what he's talking about. Amen. That's right. And when he said he gave some all these, that some eliminated a universal church right there. That one word, some. You know how to study your Bible, it did. Come on in the house, boys and girls. And what does that work of the ministry do? Somebody said, well, it wears me out. It probably does. It does all of us. We're all, some of us are getting older than others. And I guarantee you that 3 days of marathon, you hang around here all 3 days, you're going to be tired, wore out, and exhausted. There's no, and I know some of you have to work. I understand that. But I'm telling you that we ought to put our best foot forward on this radio marathon. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, God can remove the candlestick out of its place.
Amen.
God can take the ministry and give it to somebody more worthy than what we are. If God realizes within our heart that we really don't want it, we really don't care about it, God can take it from us and give it to somebody else. Oh, somebody said God would never do that. Well, I wouldn't gamble on that if I was a gambling man. I'm not a gambling man. But I wouldn't gamble on that because I think God certainly would.
Amen.
But here's what it does. It wears us out. I know that. But what does working in the ministry as a church that is unified and got peace in the body, what does it bring about? The Bible said there, the edifying of the body of Christ. Boy, I'll tell you, there's nothing like it. I've been in here on some marathons before that we've had preaching on those marathons and meals and things back here. And boy, I'm telling you, this place is buzzing. You know, I'm talking about buzzing. It's vibrant with the Spirit of God. And it is because God's people, like in Nehemiah's day, they came ahead, a mind to work. And God saw the work, that the work was from the heart, that the work was a work out of love, and that work, what did it do? It edified the whole body of Christ. I mean, everybody got happy.
Amen.
Everybody got built up. Everybody got excited. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You listen to what I'm telling you. If you would ever get excited about serving God, now I know this is a crude illustration, but if you would ever get excited about serving God, you'd be amazed as how it would lift your spirit.
Amen.
Do you know why dope addicts take crack? To lift their spirit. They get up. Have you never heard them talk the talk? Let's get high. Now, I know that's a crude illustration, but I'm telling you that if the church is edified because they've been perfected and they've labored together in the ministry and they're edified, they will be built up in their spirit, ladies and gentlemen. There'll be a buzz that you can't explain going on, boy. Amen. And I say it's important for us to work together. We don't want any drone bees around here. That goes for men as well as women. We're going to need people answering those telephones. We're going to have people watching the young ones. When we're in there praying, when we're in there behind those microphones, and 7 or 8 men are sitting in there talking, you can't hear yourself talk over the microphone. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hey, get in there and get in the same groove with everybody else. And pray. And by the way, ladies, it's not beyond you praying in that radio room as well.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, you mean us women? Why not?
Amen.
Don't you think women, God answers women's prayer? Somebody said, I don't know about that. He answered Hannah's prayer.
Amen.
I've got about as much confidence in some women I know as I have men. More so in some. Amen. Hey, woman. Hallelujah. That's right. So it won't hurt the men and the women both to pray and ask God to help us. I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to say that somebody's job depends on this marathon. I wouldn't dare ever say that. But I will say there's people that draw a salary from what comes in back there. And I understand that we're not just here for a salary. But common sense tells you that it's got to have money to run. Some of you would be amazed if you knew just how much money. Have you ever bothered to step out there and get a finance report of how much it costs every month to run this ministry? And we're always so strapped we can't do anything. I'm simply saying, we need... And I can't say prove to God, because I don't know if you can prove to God anything. He knows all things.
Right.
But I think that we need a change of heart.
Amen.
A change of heart God will see. And your heart and my heart are not going to change without repentance. Repentance changes hearts.
Amen.
So if we'll repent of our lethargy and get right with God, God will bless us again. I believe that. And if we'll pray in there and not depend on what we can say over those microphones, or not depend necessarily on people out there, although we need people out there, but depend on what God can do for us.
Amen.
God, I'm telling you, we can't move a heart out there, but God can.
Amen.
We don't know where people are at out there that can give, but God does.
Amen. That's right.
Now I'm going to tell you, if we can move the heart of God, God can do great and mighty things that we know not of. Are you listening to me? And then he says, till we all come into unity of the faith. See, all of us don't have the same amount of faith.
Amen.
And he said, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's a mature man. Till we all mature unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is, until we're all mature Christians. And then that scripture is not saying that we're going to be as perfect as Jesus is on this side of the crossing. Ain't going to happen. But we all can grow up. Do you realize the Bible said that Jesus, by suffering, he learned, he became obedient unto those things because he suffered? Let me just read that verse of Scripture. I used to know it by heart. I don't want to misquote it. I want you to get a hold of what it's saying. Right, God will turn over and read it for you. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. Do you think that Christ had to be made perfect? It's not talking about the spiritual Christ. It's talking about his humanity. And his humanity had to mature, and it did mature. You'll read in Luke chapter number 3. I believe in chapter 3. It will tell you about him growing in stature and in favor with God and with man. Christ was a man. But he was God also. And then that humanity had to be perfected. Spiritual man. And it's hard to discern between those, I'm telling you. And I'm stabbing at it and trying, but I'm telling you the truth of all that I know to tell you. And that he said that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby we lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto all things, unto him in all things, which is the head, even the Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, joined and compacted by that which every joint supplies. What joint are you? We grow up in Christ. We grow up in Christ as a body. And every body, every person in that body has got a responsibility. Whether you realize it or not, it said, which every joint supplied. That's talking about everybody. Every one of us that are members of Island Ford Baptist Church, we have got a responsibility to God. There's something, there's something for us to do here, or God wouldn't have us here. Now I'm going to throw one at you. You can believe this or not, but I believe what we're talking about in Corinthians. I believe it's in the book of Corinthians. He said, for by one Spirit you're all baptized into one body. And I don't believe that's talking about Spirit and being baptized into that big balloon. Somebody said, how did you get to Brother Nolan's church? By the Spirit of God. That's right. Somebody said, well, you just stumbled onto it. Come on now. How did some of y'all get here? You just stumbled onto it? Some of you might think the way you got here looks like you stumbled onto it, but God had a thing in motion all the time. You didn't stumble into nothing. God don't allow people to stumble into nothing. But I'm going to tell you what He does. Like Christ was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted, the Holy Ghost leads people to where He wants them to be in the house of God. And He puts us all where He wants us to be and gives us a purpose in that church. Brother Brown said to me today, he said, Brother Hall, I've never seen in my life, said, people are wandering around like they absolutely have no purpose at all in the church. He said, they remind me of those people at Kadesh Barnea when they went out in the wilderness and wandered. Said they didn't have. Said they just wandered. There was nothing for them to do. Do you realize that all those that were over 20 years old and died, that they had no prospect whatsoever of accomplishing anything for God because they'd already been told they were going to die in that wilderness. For 40 years, those children under 20 were the only ones that found the real blessing from God. And I'm telling people today are like those older people.
Amen.
They're just, it's almost like we're just sitting on a pew waiting to die. Amen. You know, I'm going to just die and go on to glory. Is that what you think? If that is our concept of thinking tonight, we better read our Bibles and pray and change things and realize that our priority is in the house of God, and God is first in our life. Now, I'll say this, and it won't go nowhere. Ronnie Simpson said it this morning. Some of y'all probably had a fit when he said it. But he said, I'm going to tell you what Christian love is. He said, it's loving Christ first, others second, and us last.
Amen.
And he's right. We're last. And if we'll put Christ first, it'll fall in order.
Amen.
Better believe it will. Amen. And he said, every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Oh, man. We've all got a measure of effectual working. A measure. God's given us a measure. And, hey, what? Well, look here. Let's just say, let's just put it out this way. What if God gave us a measure of 2 gallons? God said, I'm going to measure you out 2 gallons. That 2 gallons is what you've got to use to accomplish in the body what I want you to accomplish. And we only use 1 gallon of it, we ain't going to get the job done. He gave us a measure. He gave us a measure of 2 gallons. In other words, hey, if we don't use the full measure that God gives us, the body will suffer because of it.
Right.
Better believe it will. I'm just about done. He said, maketh increase. When we do this, it maketh increase in the body. Get this. Unto the edifying of itself in love. The edifying of itself. You realize that we as a body can edify ourselves? The body can. Somebody said, how? Singing? Fellowshipping? Shaking one another's hand? Praying for one another? Getting involved in the ministry, getting behind. And when I'm talking about getting behind the ministry, I'm not just talking about giving money, although some of you do need to learn how to give money.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not broke. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that's scared to death to give a dime to the house of God. To the ministry. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather give it to God than I would leave it here. You just mark her down, you leave it here, somebody's going to fight over it, or the state's going to get it. And I wouldn't give the state a dime that I didn't have to. Nor the federal government either. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the air. Now, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about laboring in the house of God. Helping clean. Praying. Answering phones and taking turns and not killing ourselves. One person killing herself on the phone all day and all night. Taking turns. Cooking some food. I looked out there on the list. And I saw on Thursday at 3 o'clock, we're having 15 bean soup. Now, it's going to be good. I won't say it. You got the message. See how sometimes silence is golden? But I didn't look any further. I don't know what else is on that list. But what I'm saying is, it goes all the way from making food and carrying it in here to answering them telephones to praying. Being behind those microphones, playing the right song, not just going in there and dubbing up on that computer and whatever rolls up on it, letting it play. Pray and ask God what song will move somebody's heart. When we're behind the microphones, Lord, what can I say that will move somebody's heart? What can I say that will help somebody? Not only to give, but help somebody in their life. They need help. You'd be amazed at the people out there that are in desperate need of help. Everybody can't get into the prison, but we can. Everybody can't get into the jail out here, but we can. Everybody can't get into nursing homes, but we can. And I'm going to tell you, they can't keep us out of them. Because they can't take the radios away from them people. And they can't. That's infringing upon their civil rights. So we can get in there. I've had them to call me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I've had them to write me letters. I went all the way to LaGrange one time to a fellow that had written me a letter that heard me all the way in LaGrange. And I don't know how, but he had heard me all the way up there and asked me to come and see him. And I come and visited that man. And later on, he got transferred down here to Eddyville. And I preached to him down there. Man came to me and said, "You remember me?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm still listening to your radio station." In the state penitentiary. You'd be amazed at the letters that come across my desk. Please keep the radio station on the air. Most of them are a lot of old women. "Brother Hall, I can't give much, but here's all I can do, and I want to give it. If that station ever goes off the air, I don't know what I'd do." I'm telling you how to read some of them. I might start posting some of them out there and letting you read them. Some of them, boy, will break your heart. I've heard some of them say, this is my lifeline. I leave it on. I've had some say, "I leave it on day and night." Oh, I'll tell you, that ought to crank us up, boy. Somebody said, "Well, to me, I don't get behind a microphone much, and it's not very exciting." Who said it had to always be exciting? I'm going to be honest with you. It was exciting to me 23 years ago, but it's left. The excitement has gotten less, and the labor has gotten greater, and the load has gotten heavier. You listen to what I'm saying? It's not as much fun as it used to be. They used to call in to argue and fight with me. They won't even do that no more. First couple of years I was here, I said, "Lord, if this is like this all the time, I'm not going to make it." Because, I mean, they'd call me and cuss me out. Preachers would. He'd call me all virtually everything they could think of. I mean, I'm talking about spiritually cussing now. I mean, buddy, I've had it. I'm not joking you. I've had people come by the station threaten to whip me and everything else. But I've kept on. And we're still here. I'm going to tell you, we've been here since 1977. We are the first Christian radio station of this kind in the state of Kentucky. I don't care how many of these other stations put up. I'm not responsible for them. We are responsible for this and WAJJ and McKenzie. That's it. Responsible to keep them on the air till Jesus comes or says it's enough. And you know something? I don't believe he'll ever say it's enough. You know why? Because he said, "Occupy till I come." That's right. Now, let's all get behind the marathon. Let's all get involved. Let's make our children behave. Let's answer phones. Let's be here when we can. Have to work, I understand that. Brother Hall has no problem with that. I know you have to work. I have no problem with that. Now, I don't expect you to sit here like us all day and all night. I don't expect that. But everybody ought to drop by for a while. Sit here for a while and pray a few times with us. And labor a little bit with everybody. Everybody could buy a bottle of ginger ale or buy some pig licking cake or something like that. Bring him back here, banana pudding. I'll tell you what. I wish to goodness one time in a marathon somebody would make a wash tub full of banana pudding. I'd dive in it head first and eat my way out of it, buddy. Now, that'd be a mess, wouldn't it? But I'm telling you, if it's good banana pudding, it'd be worth it, boy. Lord, help us now. We need help, and we need your prayers. It's our ministry that God's given us, not my ministry. It's the church's ministry. God's given it to the church. That's what he's talking about here. Hey, he gave me to the church, but he gave the church for the work of the ministry. It's the church's ministry. It's not mine. It's the church's.
Amen.
So let's all labor together with Christ and see great things done in this marathon. Let's stand together.